Blog Talk Radio.
Let's roll away the stone. In the summer of 2008, while deployed to a 30-day training cycle at the Joint Readiness Training Center, that's JRTC, Fort Polk, Louisiana, this training event took place through Easter. The 25 Cavalry was preparing to return for another deployment to Iraq. So many things needed to be met for the preparation due. As out unit's medical platoon sergeant, I was responsible for the medical support for nearly 1,000 soldiers. I have my line medics to ensure training was realistic. I had the forward aid station, that was the FAS, and the main aid station, that's the MAS. So you had the FAS and the MAS. Ensuring that all the equipment was serviceable and accountable, and soldier medics were trained and prepared for what may come. There had to be much coordination with all the other battalion elements, so everyone was on the same sheet of music. Triage is a very important issue to save the most possible injured casualties and how to treat them. In the previous deployment to Iraq, we saved many of our wounded. I am so thankful for the great soldier medics that I served with during this time in our nation's history. To know what to do when you have the wounded come into your area of operation, the delayed casualties, the immediates, the minimals, and the expecteds. It's what we call the dime. For every soldier we were able to save from their wounds, there was a family at home waiting for them. And it was appropriate, our platoon model, we were known as grave robbers. Also, combat lifesavers is another major emphasis that helps the medical response, which we train them when an element is receiving casualties. This training can be very stressful. Much is going on all the time. Faith is a huge asset under such conditions. We did not have a Catholic priest available, so I was graced to work with our battalion chaplain in supporting our Catholics within the battalion. For our service, I picked songs for us, and I had the Liturgy of the Word for Easter. The chaplain's assistant was a good guitar player and helped me in the arrangements in which we put together. He particularly liked the song that I played at the beginning, Roll Away the Stone, and that is one of my favorite Easter songs. In 2008, the Archdiocese of the Military had changed the Lay Eucharistic Ministry, the LEM, which used, you know, I used to have the Eucharist with me in the absence of a Catholic priest in the field, I was able to do this since 1985, this ended in 2007 with the Archdiocese of the Military. The Archbishop had made a change there because there were some issues that were developing with some of the Protestant chaplains, you know, division level, and they were trying to take the Eucharist away from LEMs, which I would never allow that to happen. I did never allow that to happen, but the Archbishop saw that as so they took away that ability for us to have the Eucharist with us in the field environment in the absence of a priest. I was able to do Liturgy of the Word services, and that's what we had to work with. One thing I always enjoyed while deployed in these training exercises was the zillion opportunities to answer questions people have about the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church. Despite all the modern technologies that the soldiers are able to have on their off time, the computers, the iPads, the phones, the games, still there are opportunities to become philosophers. During Holy Week, our chaplain's assistant asked me about purgatory, and where in the Bible do we find this place? That is a very interesting topic, and I sure love to cover it. I answered him first addressing Jesus from the cross, Luke chapter 23 through 39, and verse 43 states, "Now one of the criminals hanging there reviling Jesus, saying, 'Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, 'Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus replied to him, 'Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" I asked the chaplain's assistant, where did he take St. Dismas? That's the good thief. Where did they go? His response was, heaven. That they went to heaven. Then I shared 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 21, which says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God, put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism which saves you now. Man, there's a lot to talk about that. It is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at this point, the chaplain's assistant became silent as he listened to what I was saying. Think about this for a second. I mean, he took St. Dismas, the good thief on the cross. That's where, and St. Peter referred to this place as prison. In the Old Testament, it was referred to as Sheol, or the underworld, the netherworld. But this was what St. Peter referred to as prison, which is purgatory. And that's where Jesus took St. Dismas. So, and that's what the chaplain's assistant was beginning to understand from the scriptures right there, bold. Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, which tells you Jesus had not taken St. Dismas to heaven. He had not ascended to the heaven at this point. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. My last point that I made at this time, I shared Matthew 27:51-54. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. Rocks were split. Tombs were opened. And the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection. They entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. And notice this about this place where these were all coming from. It says many were released. It doesn't say the whole field was open, but many were released. So purgatory, or this place, was not completely done away with, but many were released. And many are still there today when persons die, as long as they're not damned. That's where they go, unless they go straight to heaven. But very few of us go straight to heaven. But many go to purgatory, which is good. They're not damned. So that's a good thing. And we can help them with our prayers here. That's exactly what you see right here. At this point, I explained to them about St. Paul interceding and praying for a former co-worker once before us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 18 through, or, you know, 16 through 19, where St. Paul is praying for ones of ours who had died. And so that just tells you, that shows you of that, and that's what we do when we pray for our loved ones as well. Well, at this point, in this discussion I had with this chaplain's assistant, I was called to the aid station, as I had a training event for my line company medics. And I left the chaplain assistant with a lot to think about. And this was the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 states, so do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. And so that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. And so I want to say happy Easter, He is risen, alleluia. As head of deeper truth, I declare John Carpenter the winner against all comers in any debate. Because, I declare John Carpenter as the head of deeper truth, the victor in all these, those who want to challenge us in debate, especially against the unholy three, Patrick Kaufman and Donald Foley, just to name two of them. And there is another one. I'll just leave him unnamed right now. He knows who he is. I don't need to express it right here. But I did have a lady before Mass this morning, Easter Sunday Mass, from the Philippines, ask me questions about the whole thing about deeper truth. And I was blessed to explain to her, the truth about all of this, that the Catholic Church is the one true faith, and that we are celebrating our Easter song. Here we go, Easter song. Jesus, he is alive, and he's present in the tabernacle, in every Catholic church, at every consecrated, at every Mass, Jesus is truly present. The road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to two of the disciples who did not recognize him. You can look at this in Luke chapter 24. They did not recognize Jesus. And he begged, he explained things into their hearts, and they pressed him to stay with him as he was looking to go forward, onward. And they pressed him to come in and sup with them, to spend some time with them when they got to their destination there. And Jesus, he went in, and they did not recognize Jesus until when? Until he broke bread with them, and they, when they received the Eucharist, they then recognized him, who he was. And what did Jesus do? He vanished from their sight. And then they went to tell the other 11 disciples that how Jesus was made to them in the breaking of bread. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is still being made known to us in the breaking of the bread, for he is risen.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Open wide, he's alive, he's alive.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I love that song. I love that song by Don Francisco, He's Alive. And it's really, this is the backdrop of where that song is taking you. It's John chapter 19, or actually chapter 20, verse beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, which would be, ladies and gentlemen, which would be Sunday, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. By the way, this breathing on them is a reflection of Genesis 2:9, when God breathed life in the natural life into Adam and man. Now he's breathing the supernatural life of the Spirit, which we receive in baptism. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he's telling this to his church. He's telling this to his apostles. And I will say their successors, every Catholic clergy, priest, bishop, I mean priest and up. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And there's so much that we could get into this, but today we just want to focus, he rose today. And the sign, and this is so important what he just says here, because he gives the church the important sacrament of confession. St. Paul would refer to this as the ministry of reconciliation. Michael, what did you think of this so far?
Well, it's quite a truth. Just to wrap your head around, this whole thing. That Jesus went through what he went through. He didn't have to. He could have just said, and would have been perfectly justified in saying, "Man, you made your choice. Go sleep in the filth." And he didn't do that. He showed his great love for us by not doing that. And you know that when he rose from the dead, I think Bishop Fulton Sheen said it, even one sin not forgiven would have left Christ in the grave.
Well, that shows
he won
that
a complete
Jesus
victory.
Died. Yeah, he won a complete victory. But it's still, he gives it to, we must cooperate with his grace. And we also have Doc from Clarksville, Tennessee. And happy Easter. How you doing there, Doc?
I am happy and blessed and better than I deserve. I want to wish everybody out there a happy and blessed Easter. And you're right, God has risen and he fought the fight for us. But that, one of the things that I've been kind of touching on the last couple times I've been on here, that doesn't mean that we don't have to pick up and fight with him. A lot of the Protestant religions will tell you that God fought the battle once and for all, and we don't have to fight it. And we forget that as Catholics, we are bound to fight that spiritual warfare all the time. That warfare doesn't stop. It never has. One of the greatest tricks the devil ever did was convince the world he didn't exist. Because if the devil doesn't exist, then God doesn't need to exist. And that, so we never forget that this battle is ongoing. And God rose and he fought for us and he conquered death for us. And he opened the gates of heaven to us so that we can go and do our spiritual fight, win that spiritual battle. But now we have a chance to go into everlasting life and go into the beatific vision. When before Christ beat death, the gates of heaven were closed, and all the saints up to that point were basically in limbo. They weren't in heaven. They weren't in purgatory, really, because they were already perfect. They were ready to go in heaven, but they couldn't go in heaven because of the sins of Adam and Eve had barred the gate. And then what Christ did, he opened that gate and brought all those saints and martyrs that had lived up to that point, you know, in the Jewish faith, he brought them all into eternal splendor. So
I shared that, and Saint Peter referred to that place as prison. That's where he took Saint Dismas from the cross. And I think it's in the Old Testament, you know, this is the same place where in the Old Testament, when you see King Saul, when he had the wicked witch of Endor summon up the soul of Samuel, this is where he came from. Same thing when there was a funeral, there was a person who had died. And the people was going to bury this person when they saw Moabites, you know, robbers, and they were in fear. And they threw this dead person, this body, to a tomb, which happened to touch the bones of Elisha. And when that happened, Elisha rose. He came up, and he stood up and said, "Who touched me?" Could you imagine that for Halloween? Oh, my goodness. But that's exactly what happened, but that's where they came from. That's where they came from, this place. In the Old Testament, it was known as Sheol. It was also called the Netherworld. It was, you know, when they placed them in the dead with their ancestors. That's kind of the way they looked at it in the Old Testament. You had Gehenna, the fire of hell, Gehenna. Then you had heaven, but Sheol was that place, that place. And St. Peter referred to it as prison. Now, we do call it purgatory today, and we shared where many were released when Jesus rose from the dead with the resurrection. Many were released, and they were, you know, the first resurrection, and many were seeing entering into Jerusalem. It said many were seen. It doesn't say the whole place was emptied out, but many were released.
No.
And I shared where St. Paul prayed and interceded for once a for us who had died. In First Timothy chapter 2, 16 through 19. I'm just showing that where we prayed for the dead, in the Saint Paul did that, and we do that today. We pray for, you know, we pray for the poor souls of purgatory. In fact, is it Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, for those in my own home and within my family. We pray in that Amen. Sense. And so that's what we do. Because Jesus' resurrection makes heaven attainable for us.
Exactly.
And so that's what this is all about. And Doc, I know that you went to Mass. You and your family traveled somewhere. And I'm glad that you were able to get home in time to call in. And Mike, I'm glad that you were able to call in. So today was a glorious day. I took my grandson to Mass. Go ahead.
Well, we went. You said where I traveled. We went to Arlington, Kentucky. Father David Kennedy does a beautiful Latin Mass out there, and my son Michael, your godson, he helped serve
Church.
At the Mass, and he's been serving at the Mass since he was a little child, and now he's 20
wow.
years old, and he still serves, and he works as the term is the MC for Father on serving the Latin Mass. It's, you know, he's really come a great ways. You'd be proud of him.
Oh, that is good. Oh, I am proud of him. I'm proud of everybody here at Deeper Truth. I'm so thankful for everybody and everything. And I mentioned a video about this whole thing about where Jesus has established the sacrament of confession. And I wanted to share something here. This is St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to begin with verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to be proud of us. So we should be proud of our Catholic clergy, so that, you know, to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who pride themselves on a man's position and not on his heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are out of our right mind, it is for you. I love that. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one who died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, who's the us? The church, the message of reconciliation. So we, the Catholic clergy, so we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Again, who's the us? It's the Catholic clergy, the priests. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So go to confession. When you go to confession, you receive a judgment of mercy. The confessional is the mercy seat of God, and Christ forgives through the action of his ministers, through his priests. Ain't that something? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what Easter is all about. And what did Jesus say to the apostles in that upper room? As the Father has sent me, I now send you. And so they bring salvation to the world. You know, Doc, when a person has mortal sin and they go to confession, they get reconciled by going to confession, that priest just raised somebody from the dead. Ain't that something? What do you think of that there,
that is,
Mike?
That's something else.
And Doc, you was already say something?
I agree with you. I like the old term penance.
Yeah, penance.
The whole reconciliation. I mean, we are being reconciled through God, but one of the things, and I've talked about this before with you, we've gotten away from taking personal responsibility for our sins. We go to God, and you know, I like it. I like penance service. I like going to penance and going to confession and getting my, you know, I get absolution. I go out and I do it, and I feel cleansed. But the thing is, and I've read this in other places, but it's gotten away from what I think it was meant to be, a more of a counseling session. And, well, you know, the priest is there in the presence. He is there in the place of Christ. And I personally, I like it when the pontiff throws the book at me when I go to confession. I don't want to go in and, oh, that was bad. And, you know, what brought you to this? No, you sinned. You screwed up. And it's good that you came here and you showed umpha and you showed sputz that you're taking responsibility for your sins, and here's your penance, and now go in peace in God now that you've been washed. Well, I see a lot of people use it as a way of, well, I can just go to confession and, you know, get it wiped clean, and then they go and do the sin. Well, if they're doing that, that's wrong. You got, I mean, you need to really be sorry for your sins to truly be forgiven for them. And you need to do a real penance.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what Doc is really getting to, what he's alluding to, is what John the Baptist was saying when you go to Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him. People went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Think about that. And
yeah.
Then verse 7 says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "Who, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This is verse 8, and this is where you were getting to right there, Doc. He says, "Bear fruit and do penance that benefits
people." Exactly.
He's do penance.
Exactly. You know,
because
too many I like the term reconciliation when I'm making up with a long-lost family member. But when I go before God as a worthless sinner that I am, and I'm begging him for the forgiveness of the sins that I did, that isn't time to be reconciled. That's when Papa took us out to the back of the woodshed and gave us a good stiff lesson. And guess what? We learned. We paid our penance, and we learned, and we didn't go do that stupid stuff no more. There's a term, you've heard the term toxic masculinity. Well, I'm going to coin a term right here on your radio station called righteous masculinity. And I think that needs to come back. And I think, and you don't have to be a man to have righteous masculinity. You just got to step up and do what's right. And it comes from within. If you know something's wrong and you see it, then own it. And too many people have become complacent and passive. And that, you know, more people are leaving the church every day because of that.
Well, that's why, and it's important for us to be a sign and a witness. And we have a place, we have a very important place here at Deeper Truth. As a part of our apostolate, yes, is to bring back those who have left. We need to do that, but we also need to help those who are sitting in the pews that may be struggling or having difficulty, and we want to be there and have answers and to support one another. So that way we want to keep them inside, you know, to keep that 99 in there so that when one does go astray, we're ready to go and go like what our Lord would do. He would leave the 99 to go after the one that's gone astray, and we should be doing his work. That's what we become his hands when we do his work, and we become his feet when we go where he wants us to go, and we become his voice when we speak his word. So that's what we do here at Deeper Truth. That is the whole purpose.
More angels
speaking of
all this, in heaven to one returned sinner.
Yes. Yes. And we want to keep that party going up there. That's right. That is exactly right. And I'll tell you this, Sunday, John Carpenter will be back. He's with family members tonight. And this was kind of I just made a decision tonight, and I'm really glad I did. I really like this, and I'm glad, Doc and Mike, that you both were able to come on. But I want to express a happy Easter and Easter season. This will go on for a number of days. This will go on for a few days, and, you know, our faith walk continues. Lent is over. Yes, but our faith walk is just beginning. All right.
Amen.
So next week we are going to the Philippines, to Manila, Philippines, with John Carpenter. He will be back next week, and we will be going to the Philippines. And I have to let everybody know, I had a lady from the Philippines reach out to me today, and she was told, somebody had been telling her all kinds of trash talk about us and referring to me as a liar. And, you know, and it's sad. It's sad. And I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. And anybody who knows me knows I'm not a liar. But at the same time, well, there's, you know, hey, if somebody isn't attacking us, that must mean that we're not doing our job right. Some time, you know, so we stand Deeper Truth. I took the name Deeper Truth. I've been Deeper Truth for many, many, since all the way, but going back to October 1978. I mean, I was Deeper Truth. And I took Deeper Truth from Luke chapter 5, verse 4, Duke and Odom. That's where I got it from, Duke and Odom, where Jesus invites Peter to go out into the deep. That's what that means, going out into the deep, where we can cast our nets out into the deep and we can delve into our holy, the riches of our holy Catholic faith. That's what Deeper Truth is. And there are a number of parishes that are taking our cue. They call it Into the Deep. They're getting it from us. And there are other people that are wanting to take the name Deeper Truth. And that's you know, I came up with the name myself, Deeper Truth, going all the way back to October 1978. Initially with this radio program, John Banco and I were shoulder to shoulder. We met together and we fought together on YouTube, going against all comers. And John, at the time, before that, he had a radio, blog talk radio show. It was political. So, yes, he introduced, as far as placing Deeper Truth into the blog talk radio. And I'm glad that he did. And we were together. We were shoulder to shoulder from our YouTube. So we were together on this. Now, in the initial, the first week, I was still in Iraq. I was in the military. And when I came home, come back, then I got involved into the radio. And so there was some confusion about that, and I'm going to set that confusion straight, that I'm not just a part of Deeper Truth. I am a founder of Deeper Truth. And John Banco was a, as far as he, I give him the, he did put the radio program together because of his experience with the political show that he had prior to. And because of our experience in YouTube, we fought shoulder to shoulder against the anti-Catholics in YouTube. And we continued on to doing that. And so, but there's some confusion about that. But I have been, what I've been doing for, gosh, going all the way back to October 1978. And, Doc, you've known me for a good while, and I don't think you've ever known me any different.
I don't 22-something years, I think.
Yeah,
so,
you've
yeah,
known me a long time.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. I wouldn't worry too much about that. There's always going to be haters, and like you said, if you weren't rattling a few cages, they wouldn't care. So you say, it sounds to me like the message is getting out. And what'd you bring,
I'll
like a million
this.
People back to the faith?
Yes,
something
I'll tell you
like
this,
that?
Doc. I'll tell you this, Doc. I've had Protestant ministers from as far as well as Oregon, all over the country, emailing me, saying to me, thanking me because of the work that we were doing on our radio shows and on our webpage and what have you, and our articles and things. And that they said, you don't know what you are doing out there. You're having a very positive atmosphere. When I get that kind of feedback, that to me, that's just like, wow. And I just praise God for that. I praise God for that.
You ain't done with you at all, so I'm just grateful you give me a chance to get on there and do my little rant, so I appreciate it.
Well, you and Mike, I am so thankful for Deeper Truth and members of Deeper Truth, and we are going to the Philippines next week. was John Carpenter. And the lady, and the reason I brought this up, because a lady from the Philippines got a, she reached out to me and asking me how come we, I have not been given clearance by the doctor, because the neuro doctor, to debate. In fact, I'm not, my wife didn't, doesn't even want me getting on the radio. But I feel like at this point in time, I think I've, I still got to stay clear. I got to still, you know, I'm not able to work right now. So, my, you know, the I'm telling people, I'm learning about what has happened. I had a blood clot that went through my atrium and into my heart and through my left ventricle. It went into my brain. And just as the Lord and Our Lady guided the bullet that hit Pope St. John Paul II at Vatican City on May the 13th, 1981, just as they guided that to save his life, they guided that blood clot into my brain where it hit. It did not affect me. And it did not, like, you know, you heard what has happened to Bruce Willis. And the blood, you know, what happened to him, and he had to quit. He had to, he can no longer act. He had to retire from acting. He his mind. I still got my mind, or at least I think so. But
well, I'll say
this much.
I didn't have a stroke, and I didn't have blood clot floating through my brain, and you always have me beat with the memory, and you've already proven you still do. So I think you're good to go.
Yeah, that's and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful for all the prayers that I the people prayed for me from Journey with Mary, and from the Eucharistic miracles, and all the people that is a part of Deeper Truth and have been out there. And we have a lot of people that listen to us, and we have a lot of people from the Philippines. And so I just want to wish everybody a happy Easter. And this is a season. So now to really, you know, to go to this coming Sunday will be Divine Mercy Sunday. So, you know, get involved in the Divine Mercy Novena. Today is day three, and I've been putting that out. Day one, day two, day three, I've been sending it out there. And, Mike, I know I've been sending it out to you. So, you know,
you have.
Now is an opportunity.
I've been following it. Well,
good,
John,
good. Well, then I'll be.
What was that, Mike?
Well, the story is told of a church in Germany during World War II that was bombed out. They looked, a couple of young people looked inside the church, inspected the damage, and they noticed that the crucifix appeared to be largely intact. When they got closer, they found that the hands of Christ were missing. So they gently and reverently took the crucifix down, set it outside on the lawn so it could be seen from the street, and put a sign beneath it. The sign read, "I need your hands."
That sounds like the Infant of Prague, the Infant of Prague. Well, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got just a few moments, so we're going to do a promo. But I just want to let everybody know that be ready for next week, because John Carpenter will be back, and we will be going to the Philippines. And I hope that the lady that reached out to me today, Sherry, if you're listening, God bless you, and I want to give you a Deeper Truth salute. Salute. I hope that you'll be listening, and if you can call in next week, come on, if you can do so. I'm going to do a promo, but we are going to the Philippines with John Carpenter, and I hope Mike and Doc and Kathy and the regulars are able to come back. And so he is risen, hallelujah. And so I'm going to go ahead and we'll go ahead and close, because we're at that time. But thank you guys for showing up. Doc, I'm glad you made it home safely from Kentucky, the dark and bloody ground, as the Indians called it. Men like Daniel Boone and Michael Stoner paved the wilderness road so that countless families can travel down I-24. I used to be in Colorado. I mean, the Clarksville, you know, I lived in Kentucky and Tennessee there when I was stationed at Fort Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Well, God bless you guys. Tell y'all's families that we said hi from here in Deeper Truth. And we'll talk at you later on. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles, with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956. And ladies and gentlemen, I was born in 1956. And I've been walking the line ever since.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of his search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
And to have your bags packed for the show, we're going to be going to Manila, Philippines. And this is going to be a powerful story with John Carpenter, myself, and the crew. God bless you all, and good evening.